And the angel answered Mary, "For nothing shall be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." In the name of Jesus, amen. I think it's fair to say, and I think all of you would agree with me, that many things, if not most things, are impossible with man. For consider that man is a creature, and he is not the creator of the heavens and the earth. He didn't make himself, and he certainly cannot keep himself alive. Try as he may, rage as he may, he cannot change the created order. He can't create life, and nor can he keep himself alive for any truly long length of time. He also can't forgive himself, nor can he wash away the stain of his own sin. He can't turn water into a lavish flood full of grace and mercy, filled with the Holy Spirit. He can't turn bread into flesh and wine into blood to be the means of salvation and peace to his tortured and afflicted conscience. So certainly, he cannot cause a virgin maiden to conceive a child. Much more, unite divinity with humanity and so beget a child who is indeed Emmanuel, God with us. But as you all know, that which is impossible for man is not impossible for God. All the things, even those things that are beyond our reason, our senses, our wildest dreams, are possible with God. And I think this reality causes us both shock and amazement, and certainly, hopefully, joy and relief, that with all things, that with God, all things are possible. So tonight, as we heard in our reading from the Gospel, Mary, the mother of our Lord, finds herself at the center of one of the greatest miracles and mysteries of the Bible. She, a virgin, shall conceive by the Word and the Holy Spirit, the Son of God. She, a mother, will yet remain a virgin. And the child, no less, the child that she shall bear into the world will not be like any other child, but will be the Son of God and yet the Son of Man. That is to say, that he will have flesh. He will be true man. He will grow to manhood. And in doing so, he will be hungry and he will be tired. He will pray and he will weep. He will bleed and he will suffer. And then in the fullness of time, according to God's wisdom and plan, he will die as God and man. And so bear away the sins and the iniquities of humankind, of all mankind. And his kingdom, though it resides in time, will nonetheless be timeless, and it will have no end. So given all of this, given that this little one is also the Almighty One, who will make the impossible possible, God then sends his heavenly messenger, the angel Gabriel, to speak this incredible promise. Naturally, as you would surmise, Gabriel's greeting came as a shock to the young Mary. Completely unexpected, especially to someone as insignificant and unimportant as she was in the course of history. As you know, she would later exclaim in her great hymn, the Magnificat, "God has looked upon the humble estate of his servant." So who is Mary that God should choose her? Who would see that God would use her in such an intricate part of his divine plan of salvation? The angel Gabriel reveals to her the answer. He says, "Rejoice," or "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." Yes, favored one, but not immaculate one. She is favored, but she is not without sin. Mary, you see, will take part in this divine miracle purely by the grace and the favor of God. As the old Latin translation would render it, she is full of grace, gratia plena. And notice, very clearly, notice this, do not miss this, that she was greatly troubled by what the angel had said in this regard. So this is to say that Mary was not about Mary, even though a lot of people are about Mary. She's humble. Even in the light of her giant-sized part in this divine drama, she nonetheless remains a person who confesses her weakness, her meritlessness, her beggarly state before her God and her Lord. And I believe that in this way, she does become a model of humility for all of us. For consider that we too have been favored by the Son that she bears, with blessings that could easily inflate our heads. He's made us heirs of his kingdom by the waters of our holy baptism. He's given us a seat at the royal banquet of his, an eternal feast that even he now favors us with a foretaste. It would be the height of arrogance and pride to declare that we deserve such things, that we have a right to these things that God has given us. No, we do not have an inherent right, but rather, as you notice that we pray in the post-communion collect, after we've eaten the body and the blood of Christ, that he has given us a salutary gift. And the nature of this gift, its size, its abundance, leads us, along with Mary, you see, not into pride, not into arrogance, but into humility, into astonishment, into thankfulness. Now, the angel Gabriel can see that his promise has physically and emotionally overwhelmed the young Mary. And so he immediately calms her troubled heart and he says, "Do not be afraid." We know that this has been the case throughout Scripture whenever God's heavenly messengers meet humanity, that they are brought to fear and consternation by their presence and by their words. Mortal man will always stand in awe of God's divine heavenly reality. Sinful man will always be troubled by it and actually brought to his knees and into confession because of it. Think here Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6, who exclaims in the presence of God that he is a man of unclean lips, dwelling with a bunch of other men of unclean lips, as his eyes behold the face and of the Lord God. And yet, the angel Gabriel comes not bringing a word of judgment, but rather coals of mercy, as he did with Isaiah, if you will. "For the child that shall be conceived in Mary shall atone for her sin as well as the sin of the whole world." The miracle, you see, not only abounds with hope for Mary, but for all people. And to further deepen the mystery of this miracle, Mary is told that she will conceive, if you will, this child without a man. That she would be a mother without a human father to conceive her child. Naturally, she wondered, "How shall this be, since I am a virgin?" consider that there was no precedent for such a miracle ever happening. Never in history had anything like it happened. So puzzlement and amazement grabbed her probably at the same time. Thinking about this, how could God create a baby inside her without a human father? That's just not how it works. But Gabriel once again provides the answer to Mary. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. In other words, this is to say that the birth of the Holy Child would be by the sheer power of the Word of God and by the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit, whom we know is the Lord and giver of life, who created life out of chaos in the beginning. Mary's womb, you see, would serve as the vessel by which the Father, through the Spirit, would give life to the world by the Son. It is undoubtedly an act of Trinitarian love that is happening here. So we learn in this miracle that our Creator is not bound by even His own creation. He will not be limited by anything. He will work in a new way. He's not going to be bound by human reproduction, and He's going to produce a child from a virgin. And though this virgin birth may still amaze us, or even becoming for many a stumbling block to the faith, we know that Isaiah foretold it 700 years before it ever happened, and before its fulfillment in that little town of Bethlehem. We know the promise, therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel. So, from our vantage point where we sit, what was impossible was now made possible by the Word and the will of God. And I believe that this was ultimately to confound the wise and yet draw near to the humble and the lowly in heart. That God was now using this unknown Hebrew woman to bring forth His Son into the world. Sort of like into the thick air of Abraham and Sarah's skepticism and suspicion at the promise of their son, the Lord spoke these words: "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" And we, the baptized of God, answer, "No, not anything." So it is that one of the great enemies of hope is the conclusion that all possibilities have been exhausted, that the roads are now all blocked and they are all impassable, that there are no more solutions and there is simply no way out. Consider how often we will succumb in our minds and even in our actions to the seemingly inevitable. How often we might throw up our hands and say, "This is impossible," or we wave the white flag, never considering how God actually is working. Never waiting in quiet submissiveness to that unseen plan that He's fashioning with His own hand. How often do we end up like Zechariah's faithless doubt or Sarah's laughter, and yet disregard the simple believing trust of Mary? Dear friends in Christ, at the most basic level, the message of the angel Gabriel, which Mary grasped in faith, is simply this: God is now enfleshed in your flesh. He's with you. He's not distant, but He's with you. And He will do that which is impossible for you to do. He will create new life because He is the ever-living One. He will forgive your sins and wash away your most grievous iniquities. He will, by His word, turn water into a lavish washing of new birth, rich and full of grace and mercy. He will by his word turn bread into his flesh and wine into his blood. So to feed your restless and tortured soul with his rest and his peace. He will die your death and he will raise you to new life on the last day. Indeed, he begets himself through his own word and by the flesh of this unsuspecting virgin so that he can be Emmanuel. God with you, not God far from you. This indeed is the heart of our hope, that God is with us and that nothing is impossible with him. Given that, all that is left for us to do is to sit with Mary in amazement and awe and say, as she says, "Let it be to me according to your word." Let all mortal flesh keep silent as the word of God is becoming flesh for us. We fall humbly, we fall devoutly into the foolishness of God. For the virgin birth is nothing other than the wisdom of God. Our hope then comes from heaven and is born of God. The impossible is now possible, the sign is now the reality, and the ancient promise now takes on flesh. God be praised, and in the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.